This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I've been saying this for a long time now. He's a football player, and he finds himself in the right spots because he does all the right things leading up to the game. He prepares well. He practices hard. He loves his teammates. And again, a guy that if he gets one target a game, he's happy. If he gets 15 targets a game, he's happy. He's the same exact guy every day. And, you know, guys love him for it.
Josh Allen on Khalil Shakir. No, he's not throwing shade at Diggs. He made a point of that yesterday to say, don't do that.
Didn't he seem put off to you, too, when he said it? Didn't he kind of come off like, guys, I can't keep doing this.
Every time I say anything,
yeah, I don't want to have to come out a day later and say it wasn't about Stephon Diggs.
Right. We don't need to make this thing a thing. Yep. 803-0550. Do some fantasy football chatter here with Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports, who joins us on Thursdays usually. It's been Wednesdays. The schedule's been crazy, Scott. We've had the Bills on Thursday, and then the Bills on Monday, and now the Bills are on Sunday. So we're kind of going to settle into a routine, although they play the Jets in 2 weeks on Monday Night Football again. Anyway, we'll figure it out. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I've never understood why the schedule likes to stack up those standalone games so that the Bills played the Thursday game, they played the Monday game. There's going to be a logical reason why they do it, but because it's a pattern, I haven't understood it. But speaking of the Shakir clip, so Josh Allen, obviously the presumptive MVP right now. I did a Superflex redraft on Tuesday. He was the first overall pick by me. But just funny that the receiving has been so spread out, and yet Shakir, 14 targets, 14 catches. I know he's running a lot of, you know, those easy throws, the layup targets and all that. But isn't it just nice that somebody, he's always where you want him to be? I mean, you know, he's never going to be a superstar, but what a solid football player that would be welcome on any team. And, you know, maybe his upside is a wide receiver three, but, you know, I'm happy to have a lot of Shakir shares on my teams.
Yeah, he's tied right now, Scott, for the NFL record amongst receivers. 27 targets in a row he's caught going back to last year. And I have a little of him in fantasy this year, but like you just mentioned, that redraft, I wonder where he would go today, because he looks like he's going to be a regular part of their offense. They got him the ball a couple times near the red zone or the end zone. And if he's going to be the number one target for Allen, like, right, I don't think he's maybe a league winning type of guy, but he's someone that is in your lineup every week from now on, right?
For sure. Yeah. He's tied to a superstar quarterback, tied to a bankable offense, tied to good infrastructure. And even if you think, okay, Coleman's a rookie, a lot of times those players are on the upswing as the season goes along. Obviously, Kincaid, you would think, could have a bigger role. Samuel had an injured training camp, so maybe his role expands. But you need – not every pick you make is going to be a hair on fire, you know, upside, you know, gigantic league-winning pick. There aren't that many of those guys. So there's something to be said for getting on base. You know, maybe Shakir is a single in fantasy. You know, maybe he can be a double. I guess he can't be a home run, but – you need base players, too. Not everybody can be Eddie Van Halen. You need some guys putting down the drum beat, and I feel like Shakir's that type of player.
Scott, as we look out, you mentioned Kincaid, we zoom out. Kincaid had a nice performance. He got involved in the offense, had a touchdown. One of the big stories in fantasy this year is not quite the death of the tight end position, but if you invested big in tight end, you're not getting returns. I mean, Kelce, of course, a big name, and I remember a couple weeks ago you said, you know, he'll get his, but he won't be what he once was. What do you make of what's happened at the position? Is this something that, as we look at how the league has changed, maybe there's less space for these tight ends to work? I mean, or are we looking at just, hey, it's 3 weeks, we'll figure it out?
I wrote an article after the first week thinking it was more, okay, it's the first week of the season. The first couple of weeks are glorified preseason games. Teams are trying to figure out what they have and what they don't. I was surprised. I thought maybe tight ends might have been blocking more in the early games, but when I dug into the data, that didn't back it up. So one thing about tight ends is that they, more than other positions, because they're generally, even the best tight ends, with very rare exceptions, don't have huge target totals. So you usually need touchdowns to get a tight end home in fantasy, and because scoring's down league-wide, I think it affects a player like that more than it might affect like somebody like CeeDee Lamb, right? He's off to a slower start. He's only scored once, but his target totals are so robust that he's still giving you value. He's not, people are not screaming about CeeDee Lamb right now, even though he's been a minor disappointment. When the tight ends don't get the goal line equity, it really deflates them. But think about right now for fantasy, who do you wish you drafted a tight end? There's just so few. If I just said you can have whoever you want where he went, Brock Bowers would be an obvious answer. He's outkicked his coverage. But between injury, underperformance, the quarterbacks trying to find their way, at least we saw the way last week ended, right? The Monday night game, the Jaguars were terrible, but Buffalo was great. That second game between Washington and Cincinnati, no punts, no turnovers, first time since 1940 for that. I feel like the scoring is going to bounce back a little bit. I mean, maybe the year is still going to be down for scoring year over year, but I feel like better things are ahead. Teams, it's all about, I think back to that year, the Patriots got stomped at Kansas City, the on to Cincinnati week. The first month is about figuring out what you have and then making adjustments. We saw the rookie quarterback start to play better in week three. Nick's improved. Williams improved. Obviously, Jaden Daniels was electric on Monday night. So as the offenses start to play better, I think the Titans will at least make some kind of a rebound, even if it's a little bit of a marginalized position right now for fantasy.
You know, you mentioned a couple games there. I want to just pick up on individual players here. I say this as someone that sold my stock in Anthony Richardson high after four games last year and drafted Jaden Daniels. And I wonder, you know, how you feel about those two players, and let's get into the quarterback position. Like, at what point do you become confident from a fantasy standpoint that, oh yeah, this guy is legit, he's a quarterback one? Like, Richardson came into the season with hopes of that, and as an actual quarterback, you know, he's still building it there. Fantasy, he's hit and miss right now, and Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to set the world on fire with how good he's been early.
I feel like this Jaden Daniels story, we've seen it before. It has so much of the RG3 feel 12 years ago. Team is down. Early quarterback pick, the city just dying for something to feel good about. And what I really like about Daniels is he's offered a rushing component in all three games. I realize he didn't have a touchdown, but none of the rookie quarterbacks had a touchdown pass until week three. But he's, every week he's getting you something as a runner, and he's starting to look more comfortable in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. Isn't always easy to do. I still think they could be more creative with Terry McLaurin, but everybody's happy with the way McLaurin played Monday, the 55-yard catch, and then that touchdown, which was, I think, the lowest probability completion of the season. And just everybody can remember that throw, just closing their eyes. You can see it in the right corner of the end zone. The problem I never understood with Richardson is I always viewed him as a solution in search of a problem, and that he was drafted at his ceiling, and I always thought, well, what does Daniels not offer that Richardson does? Richardson played so, you know, infrequently in college. He hasn't gotten that experience since he graduated high school. Obviously, last year he only played the four games. He has no rapport right now with Michael Pittman. He's missing a lot of easy throws. His completion percentage is under 50%, which is really unusual in the NFL. It's just hard to be that inefficient. And I realize there were some home run plays in that opener, and he's got a cannon of an arm, and there's going to be some splash plays. But you need some consistency, too. You need to keep your defense off the field. They're getting like 15, 16 first downs a week. They're punting, going three and out way too much. So I think it's going to be I almost feel like Richardson is the other rookie quarterback because he played so little last year. You have to be reasonable. But for anybody who's struggling with Richardson, I mean, you're not alone. Again, scoring's down league-wide. I posted a tweet last night that in his last 10 games, Patrick Mahomes has been inside the quarterback 12 once. He's been basically a qualified fantasy starter once in 10 games. Now, I realize they were better in the playoffs, but
not much. not much. You know, it's your tweet, Scott, that had us look into this, and Joe found the number of quarterbacks that have had three touchdowns in a game more recently than Mahomes is not exactly a stellar list, like Tommy DeVito and Easton Stick. Mahomes hasn't had three touchdowns in a game since October of last year, which is, you know, this Kansas City offense lives, at least in my head, as some sort of juggernaut, and it's been quite a while since it has been one.
No, it hasn't been a juggernaut at all. They were a league average offense in the year they won the Super Bowl last year. And I think a lot of people are getting sick of this. You know, Kansas City, they do just enough to win. It seems like they've gotten some curious calls at the right times or non-calls. You know, Pitts was obviously interfered with in that Sunday night game last week. You know, let's cleanse our palate and talk about a quarterback everybody can trust, like Andy Dalton, okay? Comes in. Bryce Young is, look, he's terrible for two games. He was terrible all last year. He's a really nice kid by all accounts, and the Panthers were saying great things about how he was engaged all week, knowing he wasn't going to play. But so you might think, okay, Andy Dalton, okay, journeyman, you know, 37, I think he is. But it's just nice to see the ball come out on time. It's nice to see the ball go where it's supposed to go. Even if you don't trust Dalton, it makes us be able to trust Deontay Johnson. We can trust Chuba Hubbard. Eventually, the rookie Brooks will get on the field. So Dave Canales was a hire we were all excited about. He did really good things in Tampa Bay. And by the way, that Tampa Bay offense, they were great week one against Washington, the easiest matchup in the league. They have not played well the last 2 weeks. They somehow beat Detroit despite being outgained by a significant margin. Then the Broncos, a very ordinary team, beat Tampa Bay up. But I like Canales, and I think, you know, just having a professional quarterback, nobody's expecting what Andy Dalton did last week is unsustainable. I mean, nobody's doing that in the league, 300-plus yards, three touchdowns. But go watch the highlights of that game or with the shortcuts or just you look at what he's doing. The ball is on target. The touchdown throw to Thielen, unfortunately Thielen got hurt on that play, was a dime. The touchdown to Deontay Johnson, beautiful throw, has a feel for the rush, knows what adjustments to make at the line of scrimmage. I never thought I'd be saying Andy Dalton, save me because I need Deontay Johnson. Save me because I need Chuba Hubbard. But that's where we're at right now. He's, you know, at Miami wishes they had an Andy Dalton, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
totally.
Is Jonathan Brooks in that as well? Like when he comes back, now he goes into what is a competent offense?
For sure. Two things you get. One, yes, the level of competency rises. And also you want Carolina, weak division, right? You want them in the hunt for the playoffs, so there's more urgency to get Brooks back. If they're sitting him like at 0-17, then you think, well, okay, he's coming off a major injury. Let's not overexpose him. But maybe there's a little bit more urgency to get him on the field because this is a very stealable division, right? I mean, nobody trusts the Falcons. Tampa Bay hasn't looked good for 2 weeks. Just when we thought we could trust the Saints, Carr has a bad game. Their center gets hurt. They really did nothing right against the Eagles. So why not the Panthers? This might be a division where 8 wins gets you into the tournament. So, and no team wants to give up in September. They got a good win last week. I mean, you know, and the Raiders, you know, they're not a great team, but they had just beaten Baltimore. That's a really good win for them. And I'm excited for this Andy Dalton revenge tour, right? He's got Cincinnati this week, Chicago next week. Let's go.
Leggett maybe too, because if Dalton's good, there's going to be another receiver probably that there's enough for at least a little
call
bit.
Out. Yeah, and if you're in a super deep league, maybe Mingo can show something. But yeah, Xavier Leggett, a late first round pick, and kind of overshadowed, right? Because Neighbors has been great, and Harrison, we all expect the world from him, and Brian Thomas certainly has fans. We saw Dunze get more involved in week 3. I think Leggett gets overshadowed. Even Ricky Pearsall's been in the news for unfortunate reasons. You know, I'd hate to see somebody get shot, but I think people forget Xavier Leggett was drafted with a lot of hype too, and now with Thielen already on IR out multiple weeks, a shame, because I thought Thielen was going to be really useful for Dalton. We saw them connect early last week, but I think Xavier Leggett, we talk about waivers and stuff, and you know, we have to tell you that Bucky Irving is available in a lot of leagues, but you know, people are like, no, he's gone in my league. That league's competitive. Give me somebody who's out there. Xavier Leggett is a great call out.
Yeah, Bucky Irving, the running back from Tampa, who, right, if you didn't get on him now, it's probably too late. Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. Who Scott, like, kind of open-ended here, is a guy to you in the league that has started really slow that you would be looking to buy? Like, who's your top guy for that right now that you're looking to trade for?
And obvious would be Lamb, I mentioned earlier. They are not going to run the ball. They're going to have to, Dak will probably be close to the league lead in pass attempts. I thought T. Higgins looked really good on Monday and didn't get much to show for it, just missed a touchdown by couple of feet. It's funny how just one play can change your perception of where you're going. I would certainly be in on him. Also, with that Dallas situation, Jake Ferguson missed a game with an injury. We talked about how ugly tight end is. They don't have the greatest wide receiver room after Lamb. And again, I think Dak's going to have a lot of 45 pass games. Maybe he won't need to do it tonight, depending on what the Giants show. But Ferguson, I think, has top 5 tight end upside. He'd be somebody I'd be targeting. And just make sure, We talked about Bucky Irving being kind of an obvious play, but just make sure you have these lottery ticket running backs all through your bench. Remember, DeAndre Swift did just about nothing for three games. The Colts were supposed to be a great matchup. He still looked terrible. Roschon Johnson was their better running back last week. This is more of a pickup idea than a trade idea, but I think Chicago's going to see what they have with Roschon Johnson. Bad offensive line, but maybe he's got the skills to combat it in a way that Swift really doesn't.
Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline as we chat. A little fantasy, fantasy football, you know, lineup decisions, buy, sell, hold, all that kind of good stuff. You know, some of these teams, I think about Arizona here. Arizona, Washington, especially this week, is a matchup that could have a lot of points. The Marvin Harrison Jr. panic from week one is gone, right? He had the big week two, and then week three we saw enough. Like, we're getting Marvin Harrison on a trajectory, but he will possibly live in the shadow of Malik Nabers, who is set to become...
He's the number one receiver in fantasy so far, I think.
And I don't know if that's going to slow down, because I remember seeing in the beginning of the season that you should trust Nabers here, because even though Jones is not good, the volume will be there. And holy cow, he has absolutely been a volume monster.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk this week of should the Bears have taken Jaden Daniels. There's also been talk, should Malik Nabers have been the first receiver in this class? Obviously, he was a game breaker at LSU, along with Ryan Thomas, along with Jaden Daniels. What a fun offense that was. Very similar to what Joe Burrow had with Chase and with Jefferson a few years earlier. And as you said, volume is obviously gigantic in fantasy. It's almost everything at the running back position. And receiver, you need to sprinkle in some skill as well. And Nabers, say this for Daboll, and you guys know all about Brian Daboll, obviously his time in Buffalo. He knows how to get his wide receiver open. And you got to move these guys around. You got to get them in different parts of the field. You got to get them in motion, because it's just so much easier for the defense to say, okay, we're just going to park this guy as the X receiver on the outside. He'll be right here. It's like you look at people talk about wide receiver, cornerback matchups. Patrick Surtain against number one receivers this year is the Mike Clay ESPN stat. Every time the number one receiver's been on the perimeter, Surtain's on him. When the receiver has been in the slot, I think it goes down to like 40% Surtain. So if I'm the Jets this week, how do I get Garrett Wilson away from Surtain? I got to put him on the move. I got to put him in the slot. I can't just park him in the same spot and Patrick Surtain comes over and like, here I am. I'm going to mark you for the next 10 seconds. You're not going to be open. As great as Garrett Wilson is, I mean, he's Surtain shutting everybody down. So the way Daboll has used Nabers, the volume, the creativity, Jones isn't great, but he's good enough in this case. Certainly for fantasy in that redraft. Ironically, I talked about starting Josh Allen. When it got back to me on the turn, I actually double tapped Nabers and Marvin Harrison. There was a little bit of FOMO for me because I didn't have any Nabers on my primary teams, but it's interesting. Took them both over Tyreek Hill, by the way, which shows my level of panic with the Miami quarterback room. But, maybe Nabers should have been. Marvin Harrison's a very good player. And I think part of the profile of him was that he had a really high floor. But right now, I think the ceiling of Nabers is more exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Patrick Surtain. I saw his comments about playing against Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, and he's basically talking about how you watch Rodgers growing up. He's one of the best. He knows Garrett Wilson is one of the best. How many are there, if there are any, erasers for you in fantasy? Like Marshawn Lattimore against Mike Evans, right, was an eraser. You cannot play Evans against Marshawn Lattimore. It just doesn't work. And Surtain, you mentioned, like, good numbers against these teams. It's not often a thing we talk about. Like, you got to stay away from this defense or this player. Is there even a list for you?
Surtain's the only quarterback who moves the needle for me. And that's not just a comment on the cornerbacks, really, but the way teams play defense is just an element of zone and handoff. And even with Garrett Wilson this week, I still have him at a space where most people are probably going to have to just Graham Barrett and start him. I think I have him on wide receiver 21 or something like that. And Wilson, we talked about buy lows, by the way. He might be a good buy low, too, because he's had such an unfortunate run out with harder than expected matchups versus some of the other guys at this position. Although, that Jets offense, they play awfully slow. Turns out they have two really good running backs instead of one, because Braylon Allen just looks outstanding. He's not going to beat up Breece Hall, but he's here. He's a mouth to feed. Lazard has more maybe left than we thought. Tyler Conklin was involved last week, Mike Williams. So could be a crowding issue. They don't play that fast, so we have to be reasonable. But the cornerback stay away list, it's one right now for me.
On a quarterback, one quarterback question before we let you go, Scott. Darnold is the number four quarterback in fantasy so far, and I saw this morning he's still only being started in like a quarter of leagues. Who's like the highest drafted quarterback that you would be willing to bench him for? Like at this point, got the guys like Goff and Cousins that were kind of like the end of the quarterback one list. Caleb Williams, like, are those all assumed at this point that you would play Darnold over them?
Mahomes.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you mentioned this track record.
I'm rushing Darnold every week, just at the top of the double digits to 10, 11, 12. And we've really seen, everybody knows the NFL's a coaching league. Talked about Dable earlier, what he's doing with neighbors. Look at what LaFleur did with the Packers. Jordan Love hurt week one. Malik Willis has been on the team for 10 seconds, and they have sustained offense the next 2 weeks. And look at what Kevin O'Connell has done in Minnesota last year after Cousins gets hurt. He still got, I didn't realize the quarterbacks had some errors in their play. There were some giveaways, but the YPA was stable with people like Nick Mullins, who's probably one of the better backups in the league, but still a backup, and a collection of other guys. You know, Cleveland last year, man, I did do anything to get Deshaun Watson out of there. Their offense spiked when Joe Flacco came in. And what O'Connell's done, obviously, McCarthy was supposed to get the handoff at some point this year. He gets the unfortunate injury. He won't play this year. And here's Darnold, younger than Joe Burrow, by the way, who just one of those post-type guys. Everything went wrong. He got mono with the Jets. He was hurt, bounced around. You know, it's kind of a little bit like the Baker Mayfield story. Maybe he just needed to go somewhere else. Maybe he needed to take a year off where he hardly played. Darnold had that last year in San Francisco. I'm at the point now where I would follow Kevin O'Connell into a burning building. I just trust him to design offense. And I think Darnold has always had the talent to be a plus quarterback. He's a little bit of mobility. He's got a very strong arm. And it's not just the Justin Jefferson show. If I told you, you know, you'd been out of the country, I'm like, hey, Sam Darnold's one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy right now. You'd be like, oh, Jefferson must be going ballistic. No, he's been good. He hasn't gone crazy. Darnold's thrown everybody here. You know, Naylor has touchdowns in three straight games. Eventually, they'll get Addison back. Eventually, they'll get Hockenson back. Maybe Hockenson can make our tight end rooms a little bit better. But Sam Darnold's just a good football player, and he's tied to a coach I really, really trust.
Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Always a pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
And you as well. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. You can, of course, find him at the Yahoo website on Twitter at @ScottPiano_WSKI.
Neighbors, man.
@Scott_Piano.
Number one. The top five. Do you think you could name that? You would know the top five fantasy receivers right now on the season?
Top five fantasy receivers on the season.
Who are the top five?
Neighbors.
Number one. Yep. Which is, man, if you drafted him, it's too, because Neighbors is one of those guys where you pick him in a draft and everybody in the room goes, ooh, look, you got Neighbors over there. And that always doesn't work. And this time it's working, and it's like, you drafted the sexy player in your fantasy draft, and then it's working like this. So he's number one, yeah. Number two?
You want to know something about a dynasty league that I'm in?
Go ahead.
Where I had the first and the third pick?
Did you pick Neighbors number one?
I went Harrison one.
Yeah.
And then number two pick. Did not take Neighbors, so I have Harrison and Neighbors in that Dynasty League.
I think, was it Chris Trapasso who said Neighbors was his number one receiver?
There were several that had, like, Neighbors as number one.
Yep. Neighbors is number one in fantasy. Number two?
Number two fantasy receiver.
Don't think too hard. I mean, you've watched him a few times probably already.
Yeah, have I?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rashi Rice.
Okay.
Number three, I don't know if you would get Chris Godwin's having a great season so far.
I read
far.
A lot about him going into the slot when they draft Jalen McMillan. Like, it frees up Godwin. He's ready to go into the slot, and he's
thriving.
Feasting.
Number four, because of one game, basically, is Juwan Jennings.
Right, three touchdown game.
46 points last week. And then number five is Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
As you'd expect.
Time for our Thursday three-way parlay coming up. We're just going to pick a leg. On Giants-Cowboys tonight. Cowboys at Giants. Thursday Night Football on the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, time for our Thursday three-way parlay. Before that, I want to point out, had a couple of dad jokes earlier, and we had multiple people say we should have a dad joke of the day. And I thought, well, I mean, the internet's a great place for this. I just search for some dad jokes, and maybe I'll just deliver a dad joke of the day. You want them? Because that could be.
I almost feel like they have to be organic. Either you come up with them, or someone calls in with one. If we get to it,
what's organic? It's all on the internet. Everything's on the internet. My favorite.
Is every joke something you've heard before?
No, a lot of these are ones I've not heard before, and like some of them are not good. Some of them are amazing.
No, I mean jokes you tell. Have you ever told a joke that you came up with on your own?
This show's a joke every day.
Okay.
Yep.
How many people create their own joke? What kind of question is that?
Someone creates them somewhere, right?
You ever invent an Italian dish? Like, no, a lot of them have been pretty much
so
made
really
before.
All joke telling is just carbon copying.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Comedians tell jokes that nobody's ever told before. Everybody else just steals theirs. Anyway, my favorite one on this list of dad jokes was, if you'll allow it, who won the neck decorating contest?
I don't know.
It was a tie. Come on,
that might be my favorite one.
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna revoke your so mic far. Privileges.
That's pretty. No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we need him at half volume or a buzzer or something. If it's a bad one, a penalty box. Can we get a penalty box in
here? Can Gene Steratore come in and explain why that was a foul?
What do you call a dog who meditates?
What?
A werewolf. This maybe should
Wait,
be...
Wait, I don't know if I get that one.
A werewolf. A dog who meditates, a were...
What's the...
He's aware. He's mindful.
Oh,
he's a mind... It's a mindful animal.
I see.
I'm just saying that maybe this should be the whole show now. I can't go until you do another one. I gotta do one more. What do you call a sheep who can sing and dance?
What's that?
Lady Baba.
Okay.
That was bad. All right, we'll stop on
not
that
bad.
One. We'll stop on that
like
one.
A six.
Why can't dinosaurs clap their hands?
Why?
Because they're extinct.
You beat me to it. I had that one.
All right, anyway, the Thursday three-way. Enough of this nonsense.
All right. Let me pull up some odds here. Although I know what I like for tonight. But I'm going to leave. I think, are you taking Neighbors? I'll leave Neighbors for you.
No, I might want to just take the Cowboys because they always destroy the Giants.
See, that's what they want you to think.
I know,
though.
I know.
They want you to think Daniel that they're going to destroy.
I mean, Daniel Jones 1-12 in prime time. If you tell me it's his time, it's like betting the Generals to beat the Globetrotters.
Daniel
like,
Jones just found
I
a way
thought
to,
they were due.
Did you see the touchdown to Neighbors, the toe tap one?
I did.
Listen, Daniel Jones, maybe he's discovered something. He probably hasn't. But he played Myles Garrett and won the football game.
True.
That guy takes more sacks than anybody. He played Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett was awesome, and he still won.
That's true. Myles Garrett had 7 pressures on Andrew Thomas alone.
So, all right. Like, I just saw you beat an elite pass rusher. I'm not going with that, though. I'm going to go... I'll leave Neighbors for the rest of you. I'm taking Wandell Robinson over 4.5 catches.
Wow.
He has been a part of their offense. He has been the underneath target. He has been catching the ball regularly. And, all right, if it is a game where Micah Parsons is got Daniel Jones running for his life, ball's got to come out. Maybe Dable's telling Jones, like, listen, we're going to do a bunch of screens and handoffs to Neighbors today. We'll get him involved. If you drop back and you feel any pressure, throw the ball to Wandell Robinson because he's going to be open 3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
The one thing about this is, the Cowboys give up a lot of yards on the ground. We know that. Historic levels.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll is going to see that and be like, we're throwing this football all day long, right? He's going to want to throw it. So, okay, Wandale Robinson, 4.5 catches. Okay.
I know.
All right.
6, 2, and 7, or it's 3 total so far in games.
If it's going to be a pass-heavy script, right, I'm going to lean into, I'm doing it. This is a little bit of a neighbor's bet. It falls in line with your Wandale Robinson belief.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Jones over 1.5 touchdowns is +205 for 2 touchdowns. They could get blown out, and he could throw a second touchdown. I'm going to take Daniel Jones to throw 2 touchdowns in this game.
All right. At +205? It's great odds. All right, what do you got, Josh?
I'm going to go against the group here a little bit. I'm going to go with a Cowboys player.
That's not against the group.
Well, you guys, I mean, you picked Giants.
We're all in the same game.
Right, that's true.
They actually can sometimes go in concert. If you pick Jones and Wandale Robinson, the natural follow-up would be, I'm going to pick a Cowboy runner because that is the game script. But you don't have to, obviously.
I'm going to go with, yeah, why not? Let's do it. Dak Prescott over 1.5 touchdowns. Okay, so I think he's just going to figure it out, and it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Jones and Prescott to score over or 2 touchdowns or more.
Dude, so 4 passing touchdowns in this game.
Yeah. The over-under is 45.5.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Neither defense is the Giants' D-line is good, right? Dexter Lawrence is great. So okay.
Brian Burns.
Yep.
All right. There it is. We're betting on a big passing script.
We've not hit on a parlay yet.
No.
This year. We need to get one.
Well, I've got a no sweat token, so it's going to be a free one for me. All right. Jones over touchdowns, Dak over touchdowns, Wandale Robinson over 4.5. It'd be great when this game ends 6-3 with a bunch of runs. I'm excited about that.
Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Nate emails in, why can't Pirates say their ABCs?
Oh, this is going to be because, something with an R. Go ahead.
No, they always get lost at sea.
Oh. I wasn't even off. I wasn't even right on the guess.
We can't do dad joke of the day if we just do all the dad jokes today.
No, we have to save. I think we have to save some. Yeah.
Let me tell you a little story about yesterday. Speaking of being lost at sea, if you could have seen me and Bulldog yesterday, it's a crime that no one took a picture of this. So Bulldog and I, we our families, we share a boat. We have a boat that we split costs. We go out all the time together. Like it's a boat share with the two of us, two of our families. So the boat, as boats do, broke. It breaks every couple years. Like, it's been in good shape for a while, but it broke late in the year, and it was going to be we have to pull it out of the water in order to get repairs. So, like, all right, we'll just wait till the end of the year, and we'll pull the boat out of the water and take it in for storage and repairs, and, you know, that'll be the end of that. It'll get repaired in the off season. Well, the thing about a broken boat is it doesn't run. So we got to get it from the slip to the launch, which is not that far. It's not, maybe based on my golf knowledge, I would say it's like 180 yards. Look to me like a 6-iron. Like, we could do this.
Okay.
So we get down there, and I brought kayak paddles because we're going to row this boat, this 20-footer. We're going to use paddles and going to row it over to the slip, over to the launch, rather. And we got down there, and like a couple of pirates, like a couple of sea captains, were like, it's a little bit of a wind out here, isn't there? A wind coming in.
Lick your finger and put it in the air a little bit.
And like, look at the water. The water's coming. Once we push off of this, we're gonna take a chance here, because if we can't beat the wind, which is gonna push the boat and push the current,
you're stuck.
All of a sudden, we are going the wrong way, and we are down in the Buffalo, the Erie Basin Marina, just careening into this could be trouble. Long story short, it did work. But what I wish we had the picture of was the two of us rowing a boat.
Uh-huh.
Like Lewis and Clark. this thing.
A pond. You don't have a pond.
No, it's
right?
A 20-foot. It's a 20-foot. Yeah, it's 20-foot. Like bow rider, motorboat.
Yeah.
And like, here we are.
Wait a minute.
All right, switch sides. Left. All right, switch. Because it would turn a little bit and would turn the other way.
Yeah. Wait, how confident were you when you took off that it was going to work? You were pretty sure? Like, you weren't all the way sure, but were you pretty sure it was going to work?
We were.
It wasn't a coin flip.
No.
If it was a coin flip, I don't think you would have done it.
No. We were aware of the potential that we would get into some trouble.
Uh-huh.
And
did you have a plan B had you gotten into some trouble?
Yeah.
Was there a plan? It seems like there couldn't be a plan
B. So it's funny. Like, we had ropes. And, you know, the other boats and other slips are there. So, like, all right, listen, if things go south, we'll just, you know.
Shout for
one of them. We've got a pole. We can pull in.
Okay.
And it's also the kind of thing where.
You have an anchor, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, but that's not really going to help. I mean, it's in the marina. It's not deep.
Okay.
But you'd want to swim in that.
To stop from, like, crashing into whatever.
Well, it would have been at low speeds if that did happen because, again, it's not even motorized at this point.
Yeah.
But we pushed off and we took like three strokes with the oars, and I was like, "All right, we're gonna be fine. It's gonna be a minute to get over there, but the wind was not significant enough to push us the wrong way." But I wish you had a picture. I wish somebody had taken a picture of us rowing this boat in the marina. And now it's the off season, so.
But so boats away.
Welcome to fall. Speaking of which, I'm lining up my fall golf schedule.
Oh, me too. I'm going to play more golf in October, I bet, than the rest of the summer combined.
And it is officially, what's the temperature? Are we looking at? What's
today? Today's like 75.
75, okay. Yeah. High of 75 for the next week.
Yeah.
Lows 60s.
Yeah, when am I putting the quarter zip on?
I was going to say, I think it's quarter zip season.
I wore a quarter
zip yesterday. Overcast. It's starting to get a little windier. Quarter zip season comes when the wind kicks up. And if you look at the 10-day forecast on the wind, I just think we have a little bit more of a breeze than we have in a month.
A little bit, but I need a breeze with, like, the low 60s.
For tomorrow.
70s. I'm good wearing the polo.
Tomorrow is a steady 10-mile-an-hour wind with gusts to 20.
Okay.
I mean, the wind is like 10 miles an hour for the next 4 days. That's your breeze.
Of course, this is why I'm playing more golf in October than ever, because I do like playing in the wind. Give me that challenge. Straighten out a nice fade, if it's going that way.
Yeah.
Hopefully it is. 50-50 shot that it is.
Extendo Sports coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What do you got?
Before we take a timeout, tailgates are up, so let's celebrate at Northtown Kia's Telluride Tailgates every Saturday in September. Enjoy complimentary tailgate food, Paula's Donuts, plus giveaways of official Buffalo Bills Northtown gear. Enter to win a Northtown Buffalo Bills game day experience, including two tickets to a Bills game, parking, and tailgate supplies. No purchase necessary, and while you're there, check out the great pricing on some new and used Kias. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Northtown Automotive Group, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports here. Wrapping up and passing off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Caitlin Clark's going to have her first off season basically in like a year and a half because the WNBA season starts like right after the college season ends. And what did she say she's going to do during the off season?
Play basketball?
Play golf.
Oh.
Want to become a professional golfer.
She wants to become a professional?
Say, I got that. I want to become a professional golfer. I don't know. I didn't hear. Was she being like funny when she said that? Probably, but she's going to golf. I'm trying to figure out, like, should I care about this when it comes to baseball? Should I care about Ohtani and Judge's home run race? The only reason I would is because it's the only two figures in the sport that I feel like are even stars, right? But I don't know. The race is good. Like, there's like 10 teams in baseball. The other baseball thing yesterday was that the A's are having their last home game.
Yeah, their last series at home.
Yeah, I saw like there was groundskeepers like with a shovel like pouring dirt into fans' water bottles so they could take it home.
Honey, where's my plastic water bottle full of dirt? Have you seen it? I'm looking for my water bottle of dirt. Yeah, from the stadium that they raised. what are you going to do with it? It's dirt.
Yeah. Their final home game is today at 3:30, sellout for an afternoon game. Last game of the ever in Oakland tonight. Jason McCourty's picking the Giants to win tonight, huh?
Really?
Everyone else picking the Cowboys? I don't think the Cowboys are that great. How much help does Dak have right now? He's got one great receiver.
Yeah.
Does he have anything else?
Brandon Cooks is not bad, right? I mean, he's okay.
He's not bad at this point. McCarthy is the play caller. The line's not as good as it was. The running backs stink. The defense is not that good. Like, he doesn't really have a lot to work with.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow for a Football Friday. We'll talk, of course, with Sal, get the latest from him. We'll talk with Chris Brown. Got another Baltimore guest on, see where they are, you know, as of tomorrow. More news on the injury stuff. So we'll chat then. Cheers. Happy Thursday. Enjoy it. Back Friday.